Surprise, we're a day early. How's it going, everybody?
Last week was a what a day late. Today was a day
Day,
early.
yeah.
So
Yes, last week was a day late. This week's a day early. Ha ha. It's
keeping
mostly
you on
because
your
of
toes.
this is like the weeks of craziness that surround our show. So, it's all kinds of nuts. Obviously. Last week we were, I was in, well, both of us ended up in Altoona for a little bit. This week, I'm going to Heroes. So I'm leaving tomorrow morning at like 9 o'clock, picking up the guys from Comicsburg, driving down the whole 7 hour drive. Probably going to take eight with stops. And tr
Yinzer Road.
I imagine there's going to be some kind of construction on 79 and then 77 or whatever the hell's all the way down there, because that's going to suck.
Oh yeah.
Actually, the only real boring part is between like Morgantown and Charleston, and then after that it's like fine, but yeah, like that's like a 2 hour boring chunk of mountain range. You roll down the windows, you hear banjos, it's bad. So anyway, thanks for everybody who stopped by in Altoona. It was a lot of fun.
Yes. The crowd was excellent. It was just very twilight
Yeah.
focused and, you know.
Yeah, it was a very celebrity focused show.
Yes.
However, we had a lot of fun. I still didn't finish my count for that yet, but we still had fun. But also, something I didn't think of told me I was leaving, but forgot it was Father's Day weekend, so that might have had something to do with the traffic being a little weirder than normal. So,
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was a bad show, but I'm not saying it was the best. It definitely would have landed somewhere in the middle for us. But they had a their record-breaking attendance, so congrats on that, guys. That's awesome. Good job. I
Well,
got
it's this is one of those shows where it's like, you don't see a lot of these celebrity like Twilight people around. It's so, you know,
right.
it kind of a really good timing for them. So, you know, and we, like
Right.
you said, we saw tons and tons of Twilight fans.
I did not see a single sparkly cosplayer, though.
No,
I was a little
they everybody
sad.
dressed up in their baseball outfits.
Yep. It was baseball outfits and just t-shirts with whatever team they were on. That was pretty much it.
Yeah,
I was
pretty
like, really? That's it? Come on,
much.
guys.
Well, unless someone really, really wanted to dress up like a werewolf, that would have
They
been
had
it.
real wolves there.
Yeah, they did.
And I still wanted to go down there and check out to see if you had to like sign a waiver to like get your
Oh
picture with
yeah,
them, but
you would have to. I would have.
never found that out. But anyway,
I did read some forums like that you did have to sign, like,
okay.
so
But I thought that was kind of cool, like a cool option.
yeah.
Yeah.
I
So
think some people were taking them with the wolves and the one actor that played the chief,
yeah.
and I was like, okay, that tracks. And that was a cool photo op for them, so
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah,
it's.
it was cool though. Like I said, I had fun. I had fun hanging out with Tim, Jenna, and Adia. I've known Tim for 25 years. I was in his wedding. I've known Jenna for a long time too, and Adia is like my pseudo niece. My step niece and we had a blast hanging out with those guys. I got to see some vendors I never see. It was a good time, and I'm just really glad I went down and hung out, and I always have a blast at that show. So other than that, there really wasn't a lot of news that I can think of in between. Like nerd wise.
Yeah, it's very quiet, to be
Yeah.
honest. Like,
So, yeah, we're all just getting ready for Heroes, and then after that, I don't know. Well, the weekend after Heroes, just so you guys know, we have our customer appreciation sale going on, so you can come out for that. That's at all the stores.
yes.
And we have a ton of stuff on sale, 20% off almost the entire store. All the dollar books are half price. I don't know if that's going to include the warehouse yet. I have not confirmed that or not. And the warehouse that day is actually going to, we just posted this on our website tonight, is going to have a geek flea market in the warehouse in the parking lot that same day. You can sign up for $10 a spot, bring your own table and chair. You park your car, open the hatch, pull your shit out, set it up, and people can shop. $10 you pay when you get there. It'll be kind of cool. 10 to 5. It'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, so make sure you check that out. Remember the warehouse sales are every Saturday. We have Helltown coming up in July. And then save your date for Three Rivers Comic Con 2026, June 6th and 7th. I already have at least four artists lined up, and I just booked one cosplayer for sure, who has not been a cosplay guest at our show in at least 6 years. So, she's gonna come back for the first time in a long time, and I'm pretty excited for that. She's been kind of in and out of the cosplay game for a while lately, and this is kind of like her foray back. She popped into the show this year and kind of snuck in dressed like a ninja. And so, if you know who that was, you'll know who I'm talking about. I have a couple feelers out for a couple other people, some former guests, some new guys that we may post or have as guests too. So that'll be kind of fun. But it's gonna be a blast. We're gonna really deck this one out. And hopefully I come back from Heroes with a lot more exciting stuff. So good times. And if you're a fan of our Butler store, we are pulling the trigger. We're getting some Warhammer set up in that sucker. So look for that in the next couple weeks. They're gonna have the same display as Waterfront and Mills in Ohio do. So if you're into that, you guys have been buying a lot of stuff. We're gonna push it up there. So you asked for it, we got it. Here it comes. You better buy it though. Tell them. Anyway. All right. Let's do this, and then hopefully I can get to bed early enough that I can get up early enough. Oh, excuse me. To hopefully weed whack my yard, not even mow it, weed whack it in the morning before I have to go and do everything.
Depends if it rains.
Because I don't, yeah, I may just do it in the dark tonight. I don't even care.
Yeah.
Like, because I was going to do it when I got home today from Ohio, but it literally, I pulled in and it started pouring.
Yeah.
And I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, it just
oh.
rained literally like 5 minutes before, like
Yeah.
I logged in.
Or
I'm
I
like,
just,
well, can't even go out
yeah.
and do it because
Yeah. Or I'm just
mower's
gonna
just
have,
gonna jam.
at this point, I'm just gonna have to wait until I come back from North Carolina and just be like, well, Monday, I'm
Yeah.
just taking off from work and just dealing with, the jungle that is my front yard. Backyard, not quite a jungle.
Yeah.
Maybe like a plain right now. It's not quite jungly, but all right. Let's talk comics. 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 Duh, 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 duh. And since I've read four books this week, I'm going to talk about an extra bonus book. So, my first book is Trinity, Daughter of Wonder Woman. This book actually ended up being a little cooler than I thought it was going to be. So, and it totally wasn't what I expected at all. So it's by Tom King as a writer. Belin Ortega is the artist. Alejandro Sanchez is the colorist. Clayton Cowles is the letterer. So it starts out with Pariah being, at a world that ends, and he gets sucked into another world, and he shows up, and a really young Lizzie shows up, and she's dressed up as Wonder Robin, and she's chasing after a super corgi, and she runs into Pariah, and she keeps calling him Piranha. And he's like, I'm here because the world's gonna end, and blah 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 blah. And she's like, well, this might be why. And she starts talking, and she tells a story about how it starts with John and Damien are yelling at each other, and she realizes that she doesn't have a dad, so she gets sad. So she goes and sits in a tree, and she's swinging in the tree because they're babysitting her poorly, obviously. So she's sitting sadly in a tree. That it's not fair that she doesn't know who her dad is. And all of a sudden, a teenage version of Liz shows up. And she's like, you need to grow up. Like, you can't be like this, da 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 da. And it cuts back to it goes back and forth with Wonder Girl and Pariah and Lizzie and teenage Liz talking a little bit, and they're like, she's like, oh, you came back to make me happy and blah, 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 and you figured out who my dad is. And she's like, no, well, I haven't really thought that far into the plan. And she's like, oh, so you don't really know how to help me either. And they're like, well, let's just go to the future and we'll just see who our if our future self knows who our dad is. And she's like, that doesn't sound like a good plan either, but I guess that's a better plan than what I have. Yeah. So they go into the future. Before they do that, you see the Furies weaving the loom of life, and someone stops them from weaving. And then it cuts to the future. And the three Lizzes are now are now there, and they're all freaking out because oldest Liz now has three lassos, and they're like, what do they do? It's really funny. There's like a really funny moment of that. And little Liz is running around going, that's my daddy, which is a statue of Steve Trevor with Wonder Woman, right? So they go back in time. And they try to put everybody back, so they can kind of figure out what's going on. And here, when they went back in time, all of the men in that era turned into corgis. So, yeah, like all of them. So all the super guys, all the Bat family, but they got shoved into different universes. So they split up to find all the corgis. So they could put them back where they need to be so that everything could be fine, because the corgis jumped into the time machine and left. And there's this really funny moment where they're all swearing, and then she's like, oh no, don't tell mom I swore. So she's still telling Pariah this story, and he's just like, I don't really. So she's like, this world's ending because of corgis? Like, it's just this really funny, like, where he's just like, what the hell? Like, what? This is really why this is happening? So then he, she grabs a hold of the super corgi, and she tells him, like, just so you know, like, middle Liz have a secret, don't tell anybody, but we're gonna bring my dad back. And then you see that the person who stopped the loom was Steve Trevor, and he actually pulls the loom, the threads from the loom, and he just says, or she's like, the one Fury says, like, what the hell is she saying? Sir, you need to run. He says, no, I don't need that. I just need my daughter. And then it says to be continued. So this was actually a very good book. It was a lot weirder than I expected, but in a good way. So I'm giving it like a I'm giving it like a 7 out of 12, only because the art wasn't super great on the inside. There were moments where it was really good. Like, I like the art when it's little Liz, because it works really good for her, but it doesn't really work for older Liz. Like she's not really, like, it doesn't really jive right in the backgrounds and stuff. Like it's just very, it's almost like got a slight anime vibe to it. That work, like I said, works for the kid. It works for Pariah, but it doesn't work for Liz. And it's just, I don't know what's up with it, but it just doesn't work right for me. So 7 out of 12.
We got Wolverine number 10. We left off the last time with Wolverine going back to the Howlett estate. And he smells Sabretooth. As he enters in the estate, we find out there was a squatter in there, and he ends up hitting Logan with a crowbar. It just pisses him off. And he's like, I'm gonna warn you once, get out of my place. And the guy runs, you know. And as he further digs, searches the estate, he ends up getting confronted by two specters, one of his biological father. And one of his dad, like the one who raised him. And they started, you know, kind of attacking him for obvious reasons because technically he kind of killed both. Well, he killed his biological dad, but he didn't kill his actual dad. Before things got too heavy, you heard his mother's voice telling them to leave him be. And then they just kind of backed off. He goes into the room and he smells her, sees her, and it looks like she hasn't aged a day. We'll find out more about that hopefully in the next issue. But as he starts talking to her, here comes Sabretooth, ruining everything as he always does. And pretty much says that he's now going to get his ultimate revenge on Wolverine because now he can kill his mom. So that's the way it ends. This wasn't like the most intriguing issue. It's definitely one of those. You're seeing where this is going. I want to find out more about his mom, because it's, you know, she's supposed to be dead at this point. It's really weird. But it's comics, it's Wolverine. I'm gonna give this like an 8 out of 12 just because it wasn't the most exciting book. It was a lot of filler. But I'm hopefully this is just like one of those transition issues of, okay, now it's going to speed up. And hopefully this is going to be better than the beginning of this series with the talking metal from Earth. So we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, it really wasn't very long. It was a
Yeah.
very short book, yes.
Huh. I really like that cover, though.
Oh, the cover's cool. Actually, like even the variant covers were solid too. I mean,
Cool. All right. My next book is Absolute Flash 4. So this book It's a little slower, no pun intended, than the other ones. So Wally and Grodd are kind of trying to figure out what the hell their next move is. So they end up going to what I might actually say it here. Hold on a second. Iron Heights. They actually move into Iron Heights, like as like homeless people, right? And they run into Ralph Dibny, who is, in the real world, or not real world, but in the normal, non-absolute universe, is Elastic Man. And he runs basically a mission for homeless kids and homeless people. Because Wally gets in line for food and a homeless shelter, and Ralph's like, hey, like we have a youth version over here you don't have to wait in line for. We also have a home if you want to stay there. And as he's saying this, Linda Park walks by and starts chiming in on things, and he kind of has that smitten look on his face. He's thinking about it, and while he's thinking about it, the rogues are trying to find him. Wally's dad gets pretty pissed at the rogues, because they can't help him. Then it cuts to the mission, and Linda and Wally have this conversation, just kind of about like why they're there, which is kind of a cool thing. Ralph comes in to see Wally at his room and kind of give him a toothbrush and stuff and just see how he's doing. And then Ralph leaves, and Wally realizes Grodd has left. And the whole time Grodd's like, the heat. He's like, I know, it's hot, it's hot. Doctor or Major West is back at the lab, looking, trying to find answers, and talks to Dr. Thawne about what they're really doing. And Thawne's like, no, like we can't really tell you because it's secret. But you can imagine what went on here. But your son is now part of it, as there are other things that left too. There are multiple other things that broke. So there was Project Wizard, Project Heatwave, Project Firestorm, and Project 5X. And not just Grodd, but Grodd is leading him to the other ones because he's psychically connected. So Wally's chasing after Grodd, and he's like hot, hot, hot. It's super hot, hot, got hot. And he's like, I don't understand. He's like, hot is here, and he points over, and you just see this smoldering mess, and it's heat wave, and it just says next heat wave. So heat wave's almost like a molten man in this universe. Which was kind of cool to see. So I'm kind of interested in how that's gonna play out. So I'm giving this issue, I'm giving like a 6 out of 12, only because, like I said, it was a lot slower than the other ones. It didn't quite keep the pace that I was used to. But I did like that they finally brought Linda in. I like that they brought Ralph in. It didn't really do much till the end for me. It was kind of a little too late of a bang, for what I wanted. But I thought it was overall okay. But I think it's that midpoint of the story, so I'm expecting the last two issues of the first arc to be a lot better. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Oh wait. Nope. Wait.
All
Nope. I guess I do have two in a row. My bad.
right. It's
Woo.
all good.
I guess I fucked that up. My bad. So my next book is Green Lantern, Absolute Green Lantern 3. So this book is mostly around John Stewart and what happens to John Stewart. So John Stewart during this book is basically figures out that the green shell around the town has a weakness to yellow, because the guy who, if you remember in the first issue, there was the guy that rode his motorcycle and slammed into it. Well, his earring that's made of gold flew through it and landed on the inside of the wall. So he's picked it up and he's trying to figure out why it's on the inside and not on the outside. So eventually he tosses it at the wall and it goes through the wall. And he's like, huh, I don't know how that worked. So then he talks to, or cut to Hal and Joe, and they have a fight in the diner where Hal shoots Joe with like a black hand gun, and Joe's kind of like fighting back with green energy, and Hal's like, I don't know how you control that, and she's just like, you need to get over it and you need to learn control. So it's kind of an interesting fight. So then they then cut to before all this crazy shit happened, when they were just first trapped, and Hal gives John a golden, it's basically a golden Funko Pop, but they call it a Funzo figure. But it's of the Blue Devil, right? But it's one of the gold ones, right? And it talks about how it has no art 0 points of articulation. He paid $8 for it. Now it's worth maybe 8 cents. Stuff like that. And he's like, and he throws it at the wall and it goes through. And he's like, what the hell? So then eventually he takes Joe's wedding ring, which is 24 karat gold, and he whips it at it, and it actually makes like a real big hole in the wall for a couple seconds. And they're like, okay, so if that made that hole for a couple seconds, what, like, if we get enough gold, maybe we can make that work. And then Abin Sur shows up and he's like, John Stewart judgment is in progress. And it basically, like, he basically, like, annihilates him. So that's what happened to John Stewart. This book, I'm going to give a 7 out of 12. Mostly because there wasn't like a ton of action. It was just a lot of thought processy. But it was a very well done thought processy, and I still like the art in this one a lot. I think the story's moving along very well. But I think it's also starting to slow down a little bit, and I don't want that to happen. So I think it just needs to pick up a little bit faster. So.
All right, we got Weapon X-Men. I believe it's number 5. And this one was a little odd because I think I skipped reading number 4 and it threw me off because this is after all the stuff with Hydra and everything, so everybody's kind of picking up and the new event, the new arc starts, or at least the side story. This is basically the side story. Thunderbird, actually ends up going back in time to basically where he died, like in Giant Ector, the Giant X-Men era there. And Deadpool, Wolverine, and I keep forgetting who the other dude is. They go back in time using one of Reed Richards' inventions, because Ben Grimm owed Logan a favor. So they end up going back in time to stop Thunderbird from doing it, because if he didn't sacrifice himself when he died, a lot of people would have died. And not to mention, I think some of the X-Men would have perished as well. So Wolverine's trying to prevent that, going, you can't, you can't go back and fix things from the past, was the ultimate objective, or lesson, I guess would be the better term. And Deadpool's doing a little hijinks and messing around. Cable stayed behind because he didn't want to taint the timeline more than he already has. But Thunderbird and Wolverine actually had a talk, and ultimately he sees like Wolverine's point of view, and everything happened the way it was supposed to. They go back into the present, and then Wolverine and Cable basically kind of talk in this little cafe about what are they going to do now? Are they going to continue doing this Weapon X-Men group, or is it over? And we kind of got like a conclusion of, I guess they're going to continue this Weapon X-Men at the group's going to continue. I don't know if they're going to continue this or not. I don't know if it's going to be a long-running series. I don't mind it. I think it's fun with the characters, but with as many Wolverine and Deadpool books out right now, it's kind of just getting lost in the shuffle. But it wasn't bad. It was kind of cool seeing like why Thunderbird was doing what he was doing. And it's kind of cool to see the kind of having that Back to the Future moment there, where he was gonna, try to Marty McFly himself a little bit. But I'm probably gonna give this one like a 7 out of 12. It was just like a filler story. And again, it out of all the Wolverine Deadpool books is by far like it's better written, but I think it's just getting lost. So
Right. I love the art in this book. I just think it's really good.
yeah, it's the art's excellent. I think they put like their top artists on like the Wolverine Deadpool books just for like to catch people's eye for obvious reasons, I just
Right.
wish that the writing would be slightly better. Like the other one with the Deadpool Wolverine and Strife. That one's not getting any better. Just
Fair
like
enough.
but it is kind of it has a nice cool twist to it, so I give it that. But this one is just I'm still not quite sure what to think about this, like in general.
I get it. I get it. Oh, nope. You have two. Yeah,
No, I
my
have
bad.
two out.
My bad. That was
It's
my
fine.
bad.
It's fine. This one now, this was probably my favorite book of the week. Godzilla versus the Avengers is, as you can see, it's basically the new Avengers. With original Cap, original Iron Man. But basically the gist
No,
is,
that's the Iron Man that was in Iron Man or in New Avengers.
yeah.
Like the Bendis era, yeah.
Yeah, it's still Tony Stark
Yeah,
is what,
but I'm just saying like that is literally how they all looked in New Avengers, except it was not that Cap, it was Bucky Cap.
yeah.
Yeah.
So, But basically, you have Maria Hill bitching out the Avengers, going, "What happened? Tell me the story." And basically, all this book is a lot of back and forth where you're flashed back into how the situation happened to fast forward to what's currently going on in the present. So you see there, and all the Avengers are basically just kind of feeding off of each other, going, "Hey, we tried to save the bridge, and this town's still the town's still there for the most part," but they're like, "Yeah, we kind of had our hands full with this." And Maria's like, "Well, start from the beginning. I want to know exactly what happened." Apparently, Fing Fang Foom and Godzilla got into it. And then the Avengers were trying to stall the two while trying to evacuate the town at the same time, which, I'm sure we figured that was not going to go well. But ultimately, you got everybody's kind of point of view throughout this whole book. You had the Avengers' point of view as they were sitting there trying, witnessing this battle. You even got Fing Fang Foom's point of view. Fing Fang Foom was just chilling, apparently. And Godzilla, like, invaded his territory. And the reason they fought is because they wanted to figure out who was the king of the monsters, because Fing Fang Foom always says, "I'm the king of the monsters." Well, Godzilla, we know for a fact, is king of the monsters. So they st apparently Godzilla just kind of ignored him and kind of bitch slapped him with his tail. And
That's awesome.
there's it's even like they even show the panel where he just kind of walks by him, and Fing Fang Foom like puts his claw on Godzilla's shoulder, and Godzilla took his tail and just kind of slapped him. And even the Avengers are like, "Oh, you got dissed, man." And he's like, Wolverine just kind of chuckled. He's like, "I know, I'd slap him." Oh, by the way, throughout this whole book, Wolverine is half charred because he decided to do his thing with Godzilla, and he half of him got blown out, blown away. So he's half regenerating. And the whole book it's amusing, but you still had some action. It's hilarious the way that everybody's different points of view. And at the very end, Maria Hill is just kind of looking and like, "God, this is going to cost us so much money." And you see a bunch of expletives as she's sitting there filling out paperwork. And that was the end of the book. And I'm like, okay, by far, between this one and the Hulk, Godzilla Hulk book, are so far my favorite Godzilla Marvel books, and they've put out this year. So yeah, I'm gonna give this a good 12 out of 12. It's For those who are big Godzilla fans, you're gonna love it. If you are a Fing Fang Foom fan, you're probably gonna like this too, just because it's a side of Fing Fang Foom you don't get to see very often in the comics.
I just
So,
think it's awesome that they paint Fing Fang Foom against
good
Godzilla.
Godzilla, yeah. Oh, and Godzilla whips his ass. It's not even close on like the battle, which you kind of expected
Oh.
too. I don't expect Godzilla to lose the Fing Fang Foom.
Huh.
So,
Right? Well, it could happen.
True.
All right. My last book, no surprise to probably you, is Emma Frost, White Queen by my friend and yours, Amy Chu. So, actually, let me see who else the rest of this is. Amy Chu, Andrea DeVito, Antonia Fabella, and David Nakayama is the cover artist. So this book is kind of cool because it's kind of old school. And I don't know where in time it actually goes, it is, but it feels like it's around the time of like Giant Size X-Men. Only because of the outfits in which the X-Men are wearing, but because they do show up. So anyway, so there's a Hellfire Club in where is this? Buenos Aires, that's getting ready to be inducted, and Emma Frost is there with her new kind of assistant person named Noon? Noor? How the hell do you say it? Noor. 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 So they're both mutants and they can both hear everybody, but nobody else really in the room is. Nobody else in the Hellfire Club really knows that there's mutants in the Hellfire Club, which is also interesting.
Huh.
So yeah. So this dude breaks in, starts a riot, and he's a mutant because he can kind of teleport. She psi-blasts him. They take him prisoner. Then they go to have like the main meeting. The main meeting turns into the inner circle meeting. They have a bunch of people in the inner circle, which is kind of cool, like Tessa. And Ismail, couple other people, and all of a sudden Frost turns to Noor and goes, "Do you smell that?" She goes, "Yeah, smells like what the hell she says? Smells like brimstone." She goes, "That can only mean one thing," and all of a sudden Nightcrawler shows up. And he's like, "Oh crap, I interrupted something. Wrong room. Sorry, carry on." And he bamfs out. Guards come in. She's like, "Too late." So they run back out, and the X-Men are in the room, or in the main hall. So it's black costume Storm, Colossus, brown and yellow Wolverine, and Nightcrawler. So whatever era that is, right? Video game era, I guess. Right?
Yeah, I would say so.
So they're looking for somebody. So they're now taking on the whole Hellfire Club. They do a full-on fastball special that is drawn extremely well, between Colossus and Wolverine. There's a whole bunch of awesome Nightcrawler bamfing going on. Emma Frost uses these awesome adamantium, like finger claw, like slide on finger claw things that are pretty sweet. So anyway, Nightcrawler finally finds the kid that broke in to start the riot, grabs him, they leave. Storm sets off a giant tsunami in the middle of the building. And they're like, "This feels like a distraction." They go back to the main hall, and Sebastian Shaw is like, "What the hell happened? Explain yourself," over the video screen. And she's like, "So this feels like a setup. There's no way that that kid got in here by himself. There has to be a traitor in our midst," and that's where it says to be continued. I really liked it. The art was really good, but not quite as awesome as I hoped it would be. And Amy's writing is really good. There's just a couple moments where it felt a little story clunky. Not that the dialogue was bad, but the story itself just jumped weird, and for me at least. So I'm gonna give it a 10 out of 12, because I love Emma Frost, so it bumped it up. I would have given it a 9, but I gave it a 10. And like, look at this fucking cover. I mean, come on. Did you see the variants? The
No.
variants for this thing. Oh my God.
I'm not, there's is there a Greg land variant? Because I figured he
There's
might do
not,
one. That's kind of
but
weird because he's usually
hold
down
on.
for doing the ladies of the X-Men.
Let me find the variants for you.
Yeah. There are 11 plus variants. Jesus.
Well, only these ones are the good
Oh,
ones.
there is a Greg Land variant.
Oh, there is, but
It's a 1 in 25.
yeah. So gotta find the right one.
Why is there one with the maestro?
Are you sure you're looking at the right one?
Yeah, there's one where it says Mike Henderson, bring on the bad guy variant.
Well, that might be why, because it's bring on the bad guys.
Okay. I just it's kind of odd because those two have never met, I don't think.
I think they have, but
They got the Heroes Con trade variant.
this. Okay. You're right, there is a Greg Land one.
Yeah.
So, all right, hold on, let me pull this up.
I was going to say, you cannot,
There it is.
yeah, you
So,
cannot not do a
right.
female X-Men without Greg Land
Well, I
on it.
mean, he also did some amazing Greg Land covers, or Emma Frost covers, when she was on the X-Men, when he was doing X-Men. I really like this Joelle Jones one too.
Yeah.
this foil, I got this foil one, this Ricky Yagma or Yagawa. I got the foil one. Like, that's really cool. But yeah, the bring on the bad guys one's kind of interesting. I didn't really like this Josh Swabey one. And I really like, there was another one too. Why? There should be more.
I think there's like a one out of. Oh, that
Yeah.
is the Suave is, yeah, there's the, it looks like the variants that I'm seeing, it look like they're store variants.
Probably. So, but yeah, like I picked up that foil one, 'cause it's crazy, 'cause where the foil is on this thing is just makes it pop is like super great. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, I was helping Mads pull them, and was like, she's like, "Do you want the foil?" And I was like, "You're killing me, killing me." I was like, "Yes, I want the foil. Give me the foil." So,
I thought you would have did the Crypto, the Last Dog of Krypton book.
I bought it, but I didn't do it. I haven't read it yet, but I have it. I just haven't read it yet.
Oh, they got a
So
blank variant, so
I
they didn't get that
know.
done.
I thought about taking that with me to get something on it, but I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Really, I don't know what to take with me. I have a Fantastic Four blank, an Amazing Spider-Man blank, an Avengers blank. I have a Greg Land Spider-Woman that I forgot to take with me to our show to get signed. And because I have to have him sign a bunch of the beer label posters, so but yeah, that's really about it. So anyway, All right, guys, we ran a full hour. Good job. Yay.
I was going to say it didn't feel like it. It was,
Well, I mean, we started a little late, but
yeah.
we did go, I believe, a full hour. I mean,
Okay.
let me
Yeah, because
check
it's
the YouTube
after nine
time.
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, since yesterday you got, or last week you got to show your stuff from the con.
Oh
I did not get
yeah.
to show what I me and the wife got done here. Right, this is our Vegas
Oh, wait, hold on.
compulsory
Let me put
book.
this onto a different view so it just goes to speaker view. Okay.
Right, so I did that. This is our book. It says a whole bunch of stuff that we did got done. Now this is Craig's work here.
Nice.
Here's Howard's.
That's awesome.
He was getting very frustrated because he was trying to get our hands holding proper,
Yeah.
and we just apparently we weren't holding hands proper, and there's Sora's
The showgirl.
the showgirl
Nice.
from Vegas. That
I'm surprised
and
there's not more boobs in that, but whatever.
I'm sure the wife would not have minded. Now this was the co piece.
Nice.
God damn.
No, you can see it. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's like it's the Weapon X.
Yeah. As soon as Rachel saw it, she's like, "You got to go over and see this." And I'm like, "Ah." But it's worth it. But yeah, there was nothing really pop culture
Cool.
going on. And I've been like scouring the internet too while you're talking. I'm like, there's no announcements. There's no nothing.
Nope.
I mean, there's stuff going around the world, but we don't need to hear that.
Right.
We heard all over the place.
Yeah,
So,
we're not going to talk about that.
yeah.
Or the escape from that. So,
Yeah.
there's enough of that bullshit. So.
Very,
All
very
right.
true.
Well then, I guess we're good. So, well, thanks a lot, guys. And remember to if you're gonna buy some books, make sure you shop local, pick up stuff from your local LCS. If you can pick them up from us, that's even cooler. But support your local shops because we all need it and need to keep us employed.
Yep.
So, we will see everybody next week. We should be back to normal schedule for a while,
Yes.
tentatively. So,
Yes.
we will see everybody then. And you guys have a good weekend and stay safe, stay happy.